This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A little after 5 o'clock here on day one of the NCAA tournament, the big story is that McNeese State is up on Clemson late with a chance to pull off that 12-5 upset. If they do advance, they would take on Purdue. And Gonzaga's blowing out Georgia 30-12. Also, earlier in the show, if you missed it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. Not only was I defending myself from the pizza situation that eventually was made right, but Sean Morash basically told the world that he wants St. John's to get knocked out. And, of course, it has been uncovered that Sean Morash has always hated St. John's. We have that piece of evidence.
Really?
If you go back to February 25th, 2014... Sean Morash tweeted, when St. John sells recruits on the fact they'll be playing at MSG, do they tell them it will be in front of a high school-sized crowd?
That's a good line.
I'm a fat moron.
He also taunted John Minko that same year when he said, hey, calm down, Mink. What time are the Johnnies on? Oh, wait. And that was after they had been eliminated.
My goodness.
So
what a bad guy.
Yeah, bad guy you are. But he does provide us with a Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo.
Brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. The show has been about Evan botching Pete's. It's been about St. John's tonight. It's been about March Madness. So I'm here to give you the 5 days Americans have had the worst excuse to be lazy on.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Fridays before holiday weekends. I'm sorry, when did Memorial Day and Labor Day become holidays celebrated on Friday?
Oh, God. even more so worse in the post-pandemic era, Fridays have become optional to begin with.
No doubt.
Fridays before holidays have become, basically Thursdays before holidays.
Thursday becomes the day off. I'll take a half day on Thursday.
Offices will close by 3 o'clock Thursday. Uh-huh. My ass they will. All right, here we go.
Yeah, because our
number four.
Exactly. Number four is the day after the Super Bowl.
Mm.
Look, if you're a football fan, why is the Super Bowl any different for you on a Monday than it is any other football Sunday? I mean, it actually ends before Sunday Night Football ends.
No, it's a good point.
There is one difference.
It's a very good point.
I've heard you make this point before, and while I don't subscribe to it, I'm going to help out the audience. A lot of people travel and go to other people's houses and go to an actual party.
Okay.
Most people's Sunday Night Football experience is just being at home. Like, it's the conclusion of their weekend. Meanwhile, Super Bowl Sunday is a party night. Well,
what percentage of people do you think travel any more than 20 minutes from their home for a Super Bowl?
Well, right. As someone who doesn't travel from his home for a Super Bowl party.
I can't imagine that many. If you're going out, I'm guessing relatively within striking distance of your home.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm not buying it, Evan. But the game is over
so much earlier than regular season.
Grow up.
I'm just saying it's different from regular season based on that. Like, very few people have Sunday Night Football parties.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Get to work. That's my point. All right, here we go.
Number three.
Number three in the 5 days Americans have the worst excuse to be lazy for. How about the week between Christmas and New Year's? Frankly, I'm guilty of this, but when did December 27th become a holiday?
That's true.
Right. You know, I just take the whole week.
Yeah. I'll tell you my thinking on this because I have been as guilty as anybody. When you've got two periods of time that are vacations, it feels weird to like do something, come back, do something, as opposed to making it a giant vacation, as opposed to connecting it and saying, okay, more time off.
But here's the problem. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
So you're going to be home. So you call it vacation, but you're not going anywhere.
Well, a lot of people do go away, go to Disney. Yeah.
Those people I'm not faulting, the people that go away. I'm talking about, you know, got to get the Kohl's and return that on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, there's no excuse for that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, here we go.
Number two.
Black Friday. Oh, you're full? You're full? Matter of fact, Thanksgiving's the one night where people are so full they go to bed early enough.
Right, and forget the shopping because everybody does it online anymore.
Go to work. Go work. It's Thanksgiving. All right, here we go.
Number one.
And number one is today, the first day of the tournament. You people out there that have taken off today. You don't watch college basketball all season, but yet you reserve a little personal day to take off today. You go wait and get your vasectomy today. I mean, get lost. Go to work. And that's my list.
Sean laying down the hammer.
Sounds
thank you
like
very
you're
much, Sean.
Taking aim at
it's my fat ass!
Tommy Lugauer.
He's another
specifically.
he's not the only one. A lot of people do take off. I am told we have a very special guest that would like to talk about pizza. So, special guest, welcome to the program.
2.5 years, every Friday, Prince Street Pizza. And now I gotta be woken up from a nice mid-afternoon nap, getting ready for the tournament that Evan Roberts bought 3 personal pies and claims he doesn't know where to order pizza from.
From a janky place, too, Craig.
Come on, man. It's Listen. Right down the street. It's the name of the pizza place is the name of the street.
I'm a loser.
I choked under the pressure, Craig. They let a child do a man's job. And so I did my best. I screwed up.
No, you didn't.
And then I rectified the situation.
Dude, you wouldn't buy 3 personal pizzas for your beautiful wife and 2 boys?
Well,
you would have gotten a couple larges.
Craig, it was not a personal pie. That is not, it wasn't as large as it should be. And you should have seen my face because I ordered the pies for pickup. I go pick it up on like 190th Street in Manhattan on my way to work. And I had to double park in front of a bus. It was a crazy situation. And when I walked in and I saw the size of those boxes, I was mortified. I was like,
Let me get this right. You bought pizza in Harlem to go to Tribeca?
Yes.
Yeah, that part's true. Yes.
Because that makes a lot of sense.
Right. That's what I told him, Craig. His number one mistake is you got to get a referral. You're going to order pizza. Just get a referral. Should have called me up. Called you up.
If you parked at 190th, I got the pizzas there. Would you bike in?
The biggest mistake I made, and Tiki is right, is I should have called and phoned a friend. I should have called you. You would have found a way for me to get free pizzas. It would have worked out very
Evan,
well for me.
We had Prince Street Pizza every Friday. You have their number.
I know. Listen, I'll learn for 2026. I'll be very, very prepared.
No, now you can't be trusted.
Exactly
this has now,
right.
Unfortunately, become Tiki's responsibility.
That's exactly right. The problem is, Craig, I don't know the pizza calendar. I mean, this one was obvious, and we talked about it, but we said we weren't going to do it because nobody works anymore. Unlike when you were here, nobody's here anymore, right? People take Thursdays off, even though there were a lot of people here today, surprisingly.
Yeah, they showed up thinking there'd be pizza.
Right.
That was the problem.
They thought Francesca was getting 10 pies from
Exactly. But I don't know the calendar, so I need intel on the calendar when these special pizza days occur.
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing it every Friday because there really is nobody here Fridays.
Yeah. I mean, that was
this is like the moment in Godfather 2 where Michael goes, Fredo, I know it was you, and kisses him on the lip, and it's over. This is how I feel. Like, you might be dead to me, Evan.
Shame on all of you.
I've learned so much from you. This was the one thing I did not pick up. I apologize.
Did you not pay attention?
Well, you know you do. Assuming you guys are actually working tomorrow, you make up for it. You get everybody Ralph's Italian ices, and you're all good.
No, but Craig, there literally will be nobody here.
Yeah, now. It'll be ices for me and 4 other people, right. Basically. Craig,
all right, well,
thank you very much, and I apologize that I let you down.
Yeah,
because
come back
I don't
to sleep.
Care about what...
Apologies not accepted yet, but we can let you work it off.
All right. See you later.
See you, Craig.
The great Craig Carton. And it's true, as I was getting berated by Sal and Anthony Gallo and all the fine people that worked around here, I thought of Craig's fat face. Because I thought to myself, he's going to be the most disappointed. He's not even here to eat the pizza. And he's going to be like, what the hell did I teach you for 2.5 years? So my apologies. And tomorrow's a good day, too. We got a lot of college basketball tomorrow.
Yeah, but there is not going to be anybody here.
Nah, that's true. Let's go to Charles. He's calling from Allenhurst, New Jersey. How are you, Charles?
What up, Charles?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I got a good comparison here. And obviously, there's no, when it comes to sports between like 2 teams, there's never any perfect comparison. But with St. John's, this has been an incredible season, right? They've won a ton. They're Big East champions. They're a two seed now. Listen, Ev, I'm like you, man. I'm a diehard Met fan. I love all the other sports, but I love baseball. That is my number one love.
Right.
Love baseball. Diehard Met fan. 2022 was such a special year to me, and we won the second most games in the history of the franchise. I can't even look back on that year with any pride or excitement because of the way they choked.
Yeah.
So if you have St. John's, how can you expect any of these guys who have had this incredible season? It's like it takes away all the excitement if you lose to a 15 seed in the first round.
I agree.
It's just,
I think
you can't. Yeah.
I think that's a great comparison, by the way, because I think what Sean does sometimes, and maybe it's what makes him great, is he goes to the most extreme example.
Mm.
And clearly the KD Kyrie Nets is an extreme example on a disaster, as is the Aaron Rodgers Jets. Those are the biggest disasters, arguably, in New York sports.
Yeah, but they weren't. At least they weren't a first-round exit.
What? They didn't? Who?
The Nets.
Right, they're a turned ankle. That's why I think this is a bigger deal. It's a two-seed with Pitino to lose to a 15?
No, I get they weren't a first-round exit, but that era ended with one postseason victory, and they were supposed to be a guaranteed champion.
Some of it was circumstantial.
I get it.
Including the COVID nonsense with Kyrie.
I know full well.
And then, obviously, the injuries.
You don't think that's one of the biggest sports disasters in New York history?
No, because I think you could have seen it coming. Especially KD coming off an Achilles. Like I know what we think Achilles are like ACLs these days. They are not. Like, you can come back. But
that's not even what did them in.
You're a different player. No, but and the unforeseen.
The complete unforeseen.
Did them in. And then, I don't know, the most stupidest trade they ever did with James Harden, even though somehow James Harden was the leader in the locker room.
But Tiki, think about it. You're going through all the details of what led to it. If I asked you, biggest disaster in New York sports history, they're towards the top of the list, if not the top of the list.
I think we did, because I don't think we are any longer. We were enamored with super teams. Let's put super teams together. The reality is there's only one that ever worked.
Right.
And that was LeBron and Dwayne Wade.
Unless you want to count Durant joining the Warriors, but I don't even know if I would, because they already won.
But that wasn't orchestrated.
Right.
That was like... We're good. We might as well just get a little bit better.
I agree. It's just adding one play.
Just adding one more, right? They would have won another one probably eventually anyways. Like, let's talk in the offseason. Hey, come be my guy. Let's go to this place. Like, that's only happened a couple of times where it's been really, really successful. And ultimately successful, it's only with the Heat. So, like, you could kind of foresee it coming.
All right. What's the biggest disaster in New York sports history, then?
I don't know.
I think it's actually Rodgers.
By the way,
fine
if it is. I'm using those two as
probably
the examples.
Because of the expectation.
I'm using those as the examples. I think our last call of bringing up like the 2022 Mets is a good one in that it was a year that sort of came out of nowhere. Yeah. Like, there were expectations, but not to win 100 games. The expectations then changed, and now no Met fan looks at 2022 as a good year. Like, we all look at it as almost like a fart in the wind kind of year.
Right, because of how quickly they exited.
So I agree that if St. John's loses tonight, and it would be a massive, massive upset, which adds to it, too. It's not like you're a 5-point favorite or you're an 8-point favorite. You're an 18.5-point favorite. It would go down as a massive, massive disappointment. I just wouldn't equate it to the Titanic sports disasters of New York.
Again, the Pitino era is not over. I think we look back if it does end that way. Also, I think we're in a spot right now, Evan, where I'm saying this and nobody thinks it's even possible, so it's not registering with everybody's brain that this could be that big.
Later tonight, John Minko is going to call the game with Brandon Tierney. BT's going to join us in about 20 minutes to preview the game and probably argue a little Buffalo chicken pizza. But speaking of John Minko, it is time for another edition of WFAN Flashback, in which John Minko is a big part of this historical event in WFAN history. Remember, John Minko, of course, is an alum of, I'm forgetting that. Butler!
Yeah.
Sorry, it slipped my brain for a second. He's an alum of Butler. Well, many, many years ago, Mink wanted to see his Butler Bulldogs in the NCAA tournament, but his press credential was not approved. This angered Mike and the Mad Dog. So, ladies and gentlemen, on this edition of WFAN Flashback, hear Mike and the Mad Dog get pissed that John Minko's getting screwed.
WFAN Flashback.
Now, Mink, did you get your pass yet?
No, not yet.
Mink, what is going on?
The Mac turned us down.
Well, how about Westwood One?
We're working on that.
Wait a second.
But we got rejected by the Mac.
Call Butler. I mean, that's your school. The heck with the conference. Call the MAC.
The MAC.
Call Butler.
The MAC conference. The MAC
is running the tournament, and they rejected the application.
They rejected an FAN application to go to the game?
Yes, and they took care of us 4 years ago in Albany when I went to the Sweet 16.
Hold on now. You mean the MAC conference, this little conference in New York, that conference took you down?
That conference?
That's a disgrace.
That conference has got to be kidding.
We are going to maul this conference the rest of the day. They've had it.
You're telling me right now that
get the commissioner on.
Eddie,
let's talk to him.
We'll get Eddie in here. Get Eddie Cesari. Tell him to get the commissioner of the conference on.
No, I want to talk to that commissioner.
That conference that begs FAN for attention is going to turn down Mink getting a credential to see his team play in Buffalo? Come on.
Let me get that commissioner on. We'll take care of it, Mink. That's what you wanted us to do today. We'll rip him up. He's got the update,
John. That's ridiculous.
That is a disgrace. That's the MAC. That's Iona, Manhattan, St. Peter's. MAC.
What are you out of your mind?
That's a disgrace.
Mink wants to go see Butler play, and they won't give him a credential?
I mean, the MAC conference?
Would their buildings be half empty in the afternoon?
Come on. We are going to maul this. Get him on. Let me see how much guts he has. Let's go. Let's hear from him.
Give me a break.
How do you not get Miko into the building? I mean, that's a disgrace.
Which has to plead with people for attention.
And we
give them more attention than most because we got Usler, we got guys who work in the
we put Iona on, all the coaches on.
We're
good to those
schools, and they're not going to treat Minko that way?
No, that's a disgrace.
That's a joke. We'll never mention that conference again.
If they don't get Minko a pass, they are dead as far as I'm concerned.
He did that to me before you did.
Wow.
You're dead if you don't do it.
And did he get a credential?
So, Mike and the Mad Dog, of course, not only did they supply great pizza back in the day, but they got the credential.
Nice.
And once they got John Minko the credential, the attention then turned to John Minko himself, where they began to mock John and find out his travel plans. So here in part two of our WFAN flashback, Minko takes center stage.
WFAN flashback!
Minky, you there?
And he's not yet. We're paging
him. All right.
Paging him? Where is he? He never goes. He goes 3 feet outside and sits right outside the studio.
He's a busy man. He's heading in.
Now,
yes, I'll be there.
Okay, because we're hearing from the MAC very quickly.
Yeah.
The next half hour.
How are you going, John? Driving or plane?
I'll be driving.
Why don't we fly up there? And why don't we just
hop he wants to stay for the, if they win, he wants to stay through Saturday and needs a car.
He can rent a car up there.
Well, Mick's not going to go to a rented car. That's not his way. Now, do you have a hotel? Okay, let me ask you this. Do you have a hotel organized?
No. Don't worry.
Get a hotel.
Don't worry, I'll be there.
You don't have to worry. You can sleep with the Butler contingent if they win.
There's a couple of ways, that I've worked with the Times and things, and I'll decide later which one are they going to use.
Let's put it
this way. I have no idea what you just said.
If you get a car for 15 minutes, what time are you leaving to drive up there?
I will either leave at 7 o'clock tonight or 3 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Are you packed where you want to go? You got your bag?
No, I'm not packed.
Got your little Butler sweatshirt and everything?
I have I can't do that. I got to wear a shirt and tie.
Oh, yeah, that's how you're going to be in a credential.
Now, why would you leave tomorrow morning at 3? Why wouldn't you just get up there as soon as you can?
My favorite part is Mike saying, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you just said there.
Mink's trying to explain his travel plans, and Mike's, I have no idea what's happening.
I'm going to guess. So, Butler was in, they're in the Big East now, so it's a different world. So I'm going to look back at their tournament history, and maybe that'll help me figure it out. I'm going to guess, 2004.
Oh, so they weren't literally paging him. Because that's what caught my attention.
Oh, no, they weren't paging him.
Paging John Minko, like they were yelling for him in the newsroom. They weren't actually trying to beep him on his hip.
No, I don't think they were doing that.
Emergency.
Yeah, this had to have been, mid to early 2000s when it happened. But Butler, Mink got his credential, and he got
to see
Butler. No, get a hotel.
I'll be there.
I'll be there. Well, guess what? Tonight, John Minko will be there because he will be calling the game with BT later on tonight as St. John's tries to advance in the tournament for the first time in 25 years. Let's go to Vinny in Queens. How are you, Vinny?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. But listen, I got a bone to pick. All this negativity about St. John's, if they lose, it'll be a huge disaster. Where's the positivity? We need positive Tommy. Where is he? Let's go. St. John's in the two seeds.
Yeah, Sean, can you be more positive, please?
Well, you know, this is the reason I took off, because I wanted to party tonight till the end of dawn after St. John's wins. Let's go, Johnny. Storm,
does,
he, yeah.
Does Tommy really care?
About no. What our last caller doesn't understand is positive Tommy's just a bid for the Mets. Yes. He's not positive about other things.
No.
Necessarily.
In fact, I think he's taken Omaha with the points today.
Has he really?
That's, I mean, it's 18 and a half.
It's a lot of points.
It absolutely is a lot of points.
And wait till you see this kid Marquise Sutton plays. Unbelievable.
Have you really been scouting out Omaha?
I wanted to do my homework. I got a big bridge show coming up.
So do you think Omaha's actually has a chance to pull off this upset tonight?
Hold on. You're doing Tommy's bridge show.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot about this.
Yep.
So you're doing Tommy's bridge show.
Yeah.
About 2 hours ago, 2.5 hours ago, you can rewind on the Odyssey app, you set up this hateful take on St. John's.
Not hateful.
Yeah, it was.
Peaceful.
Take on St. John's. Are you going to do Lugauer?
Mm-hmm.
All about hating on St. John's?
No, I'm just going to bring up the pressure point here. And look,
it sounds like you're prepared to say all the reasons why St. John's is going to lose to Nebraska-Omaha.
No, because they should win. I'm setting up all the reasons why the pressure's on and they better not lose. Mm. But this is a live Summit League champion with the Summit League Player of the Year that is a better player than R.J. Lewis Jr. So the better player on the court tonight plays for Omaha. Just keep that in mind.
let's go.
Oh, this Lugauer is going to be amazing.
Let's go to Zach in Queens. How are you, Zach?
What up, Zach?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All's good.
What's up?
I don't know what the subject of the last couple conversations ago about the biggest failures in New York sports history. Did not mention the 0-4 Yankees collapsing against the Red Sox.
It's a different kind of collapse. You know what I mean? Like, they are certainly up there because you blow a 3-0 lead, something that's never been done in Major League Baseball history. It's towards the top. I think with Rodgers and the Nets, the reason those two are talked about is the ultimate hype that was around those teams because of acquisitions that led to disaster. I mean, obviously the Jet disaster in terms of wins and losses was worse because they won 5 games. You know, the Nets, to your point, made the playoffs. It wasn't enough for me. They didn't win a championship like the expectations were for them. But I think the Yankees was a more individualized moment. And I think St. John's losing tonight, which I don't think they'll do, to Vinny and some of our other callers, I'm not telling you they're going to lose tonight. My NCAA tournament novice brain tells you they're probably going to win, and we'll get to go to bed by about 11:30 or maybe 11:15. But if they did lose, where would that rank? And I think a collapse like 0-4 is a little bit similar because it was an in-the-moment thing. Yeah. The Yankees losing to the Red Sox that year wouldn't have been the biggest disaster ever. It was losing to the Red Sox with a 3-0 lead. St. John's losing in the tournament this year isn't the disaster. It's losing to a 15 seed that would be such.
Right. So there's similarities for sure because it's ultimate. The problem is he might be right about the 0-4 Yankees because it's forever memorable, whereas if the Johnnies lose to a it's not like it's a 116.
Would you guys be offended if we went to the committee? You guys know the committee. The same committee that ranked the top 24 moments of 2024. Mm. The same committee that recently ranked the almost champions. If it's somewhere down the road, we go to the committee to ask them to rank the worst collapses in New York sports history? Or would that be too negative and too sad?
Can we ever do something strictly positive?
Yeah, right. And we're only going to do it if St. John's loses tonight.
Oh, is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in.
If St. John's loses tonight, we will go to the committee here at WFAN. Again, we don't know who's on that committee.
Remember, most of them don't work Fridays either.
That's true. Mm. So we'll have to wait till Monday, and we will have to request that they put together a countdown list at some point of the biggest collapses in the history of New York sports. That'll be fascinating.
I'm very, very interested in that list. Yeah. Right.
You may be all over that list, bro.
That's all right.
Let's go to Frank in Staten Island. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
What's up?
Evan, big fan. Listened to you for years. Tiki, even bigger fan. Watching you,
man.
For years.
Thank you, brother.
Love those years with the Giants. So I'm a lifetime Giants and Mets fan. So I've seen my fair share of disappointment. I think the most disappointing team was the 2009 Giants, you know, with that self-inflicted wound from Plaxico.
Yeah.
I think that really derailed us big time.
What's interesting about that, and it's the 08 Giants, it's a year earlier, technically, is that you're coming off a Super Bowl.
Mm.
Like, I would think, and I don't know anything about this, I've never seen my teams win, I'm a loser, that if my team was coming off a championship, I probably would be not okay with a collapse, but more okay with a collapse.
Yeah, but you started the season 4-0, lost to the Browns. 35-14. I'm just looking at it. I don't remember exactly.
That was a Monday night game. The Browns were winless.
Yeah, exactly. And then you go on this ridiculous run where you win 7 games in a row. You finish ultimately 12-4. And it was just kind of like, all right, this team can repeat. Now, the problem is the back end of the season was a shell. You lost to the Eagles.
Yep.
It was like Plaxico. They lost him.
Right.
And they didn't have OCU Manure.
Yes. And then you lose to the Eagles in the regular season, and then you lose to the Eagles in the playoffs. So that's why it feels disappointing, maybe because who you lost to. Right? They had this long winning streak. The Eagles snapped the winning streak at the beginning of December, and then they beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that's why that one sucked.
Adrian is in the car. Adrian, what's up?
Guys, you guys are killing the whole mood about the game tonight.
We really are.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I just got off of work. I throw in the game. I hear Mike and the Mad Dog. I think that they're actually on the radio.
Sorry about that. You're probably like, you know what? I'll do you a favor. When we come back, one of the voices of St. John's Red Storm basketball to get you all fired up for what is a guaranteed win tonight against Omaha. Plus, we'll get back to your calls at 888-808-1019. And speaking of the St. John's game, I can't wait to do this. We are all going to predict what time the actual game starts. So we like to do long-term predictions. This will be more of a short-term prediction because we will get the answer in about 4.5 to 5 hours. So we'll get you set for what time this game will actually start. Evan and Tiki on the fan. How we doing on this Thursday late afternoon in New York City? By the way, McNeese is pulling off. They're pulling off the 12-5 upset. They built a monstrous lead, and they currently have a 5-point lead with 22 seconds to go. So we may get our first true upset of the NCAA tournament. Now, there's been a lot of negativity over the last hour or so, mostly because of Sean Morash around St. John's. So we wanted to give you positivity. So joining us right now, the voice of St. John's Red Storm basketball, and the Johnny's Report is brought to you by Sullivan Papane. We welcome in the voice of St. John's along with the Mink Man and the co-host of BT and Sal, and a guy who today said something very egregious on the radio that we will address, and that, of course, is Brandon Tierney. BT, how are you, sir?
What's up, boys? By the way, good job making amends, dude. That was getting pretty ugly for you, Ev.
Now it's time for you to make amends. You said on the radio, bro, that buffalo chicken pizza is un-American? Come on!
It's not un-American or unacceptable. Pick one. It's absolutely repulsive, man. Now, you're not Italian, so I get it, but good God almighty, man.
Oh, I got it now. BT's got the Italian side.
Is that what it is? Okay, because Sean was even defending me that buffalo chicken pizza is badass.
Oh, it's absolutely
Not a fan.
No, I'm not a fan. No. I'll take some meatball. I'll take some sausage. I'll take some pepperoni. I'll take some extra cheese. I'm just the pineapples and the buffalo stuff. That's not my speed, buddy. But it's all good.
By the way, I heard that of the tiny pizzas I brought in, the buffalo chicken was the first to go. People actually ate it before anything.
Yeah, because you had half of it.
Believe it or not, I only had one slice, which I regretted because it was so damn good. Anyhow, it was very good. Let's get down to business. We are
Hold on. Ev, one sec.
Yes.
Before we do that,
yes.
Did Tiki contribute his kale and carrots today, or what did Tiki
I did have a kale protein shake today after my vigorous workout, but I did not have anything.
Yep.
Evan didn't tell me about this, BT. I had no idea, because if he would have told me, I would have found somewhere close or were liable instead of some place in Harlem where he picked it up on his way down into the city.
Man, what a mess.
The biggest thing I learned, and you guys probably said it, so you'll understand, you'll be like, is that you can't take a boy to do a man's job. And the biggest mistake I made as a boy, unfortunately, is I should have called a man like Tiki Barber or Craig Carton to help this little boy out, and then it would have all went very well at the beginning of the day. But
I think Craig's youngest son could have been more manly than you.
What is your sense tonight? Because I'm curious. Other than Kadari Richmond, they don't have a lot of tournament experience. Correct me if I'm wrong on who does. And do you think that matters going into a game like tonight?
I don't. I don't think it matters necessarily tonight. Could it manifest itself a little deeper in the tournament? It could. But I mean, guys, this is the way college basketball goes. College football as well, but you know, the volatility with rosters and the portal and bouncing from school to school and coaches bouncing from school to school, you know, it's not like when we were growing up, the old days, where there's just this continuity where, you know, you come in, you're 18, you maybe play a little bit, you come back, you're 8-9 pounds stronger, play a little more, you come back as a junior, now you've got a little grown man strength, and then, you know, you're ready to make a run at all conference and make a real contribution. I think that what Rick has done, this is a really unique way of doing it. He's actually going back to the Marquette game and even the first game against in the Big East tournament. He has taken like the last 4 or 5 minute increments of games, and during the season, he's like, guys, this is the tournament right now, meaning the big dance. If we don't execute now, we're going home. So he's tried to emphasize a level of finality that just kind of sneaks up on young kids who aren't prepared for it. But, you know, I mean, you've got a master. You've got a ninja. You've got, as I've said a lot over the past couple of weeks, and I know it's an argument that I could certainly engage in maybe a different day. I'm not saying I'm necessarily right, but for me, I'm right. He's the best coach of all time in the history of college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, he's done it at so many places, BT, and we've talked about, you and I have talked about this on our previous show. It always felt like the Johnnies were getting close. Right, that this is the year. I remember every year it was like, man, Teague, this might be the year. And then some would always fall apart. It didn't happen this year, but you are a number two seed. And that means the expectation is that you go deep. What is success?
Yeah, that is the money question. And it's funny, you and I did talk about this. Every year I'm coming, take this, here we go. It's coming. You know, it's Jamari Pons, you know, here
yes,
we go.
Exactly.
You
know.
Oh, my God.
I forgot all those names.
For 10 years, I would say. For 10 years, I was saying that. I think that this is what I said with Sal this morning. I said all the stories have been written, and the bridge has been crossed, and the rising from the ashes, you know, being reduced to basically a pile of rubble, and a great brand that was not even tarnished, just basically evaporated. That's it. Like, what? Now we're past that. Now we can go back to that at some point during the summer, whatever, as we get ready for next season. But I think to define success, I mean, to true success, you got to get out of Providence. You got to get to San Francisco. Now, you don't take Omaha for granted. I know they won't. But I'm not playing tonight, so I could kind of push this forward a little differently without being irresponsible.
Right.
You're supposed to mop this team. You're 19-point favorites, and even, you know, whether it's Cal at Arkansas, whether it's Billy Self at Kansas, those two teams are ranked, you know, are seeded, I should say, 7-10 for a reason. Now, I think it's a little hard, guys, to separate the brand recognition. Like, people see Kansas, they're like, oh, whoa, Kansas, yeah. Well, Kansas is not really Kansas this year. And Arkansas is just getting going. So I think if they can win these two games, and certainly, listen, you want to go beyond the Sweet 16, but I think if you beg to this weekend, based on the regular season success, based on the Big East Tournament Championship first time in decades, I think that would absolutely have to constitute a success.
Right. We're talking to BT. St. John's getting set for their game in about 4 hours or so, it should tip off. Forgetting about just the team success, how about the individual success of Zubi and RJ Lewis becoming so much better from last year to this year? Did that come as a surprise after watching them play their first years with St. John's last year to what they've been able to accomplish this year as players?
Well, you know what? I think one was a little tougher for me to read because RJ Lewis last year, you guys know he had the multiple, and Teague, think about this, Teague, as a real athlete at the station, 2 shin splint operations in the offseason. So what he was doing last year, and it was admirable, but I couldn't get a true sense of his ceiling because he wouldn't practice just to kind of save his body. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to his credit, he'd roll out there, you know, kind of rusty, not in the flow, no gelling with teammates because he was just shooting. And it was tough to read. This is the real RJ Lewis. He's gonna be a pro. So I think it was tougher for me to see that with him. With Zubi, who did not play a lot at Kansas, I think he played only like 5 or 6 minutes a game, although they did like him and they had plans for him if he didn't leave. What I noticed early with Zubi was number one, a great aptitude, number two, great hands. And if you're 6'9", you know, if you're 6'9", which he is, and you can catch the ball and stick it back and you can work the pick and roll, and then what I really saw this year, and this is why St. John's is so dangerous against anybody, he plays 5. I think in the NBA he's more of a 4 if he adds a better 3-point shot to his arsenal. But the way they switch is surgical. And when he switches on a 1, he moves his feet like he's a 1, but he's 6'9 with a 7'2 wingspan. So his growth has, I think I've been less surprised by his growth because I saw him maybe just more in the flow a year ago. But R.J. Lewis is special, and Zuby's on his way to being special as well, and so is Kadari.
Right.
Now Kadari doesn't shoot. He doesn't shoot. And I don't know if you were going to lead me into Kadari, but in terms of, you know, being a man amongst boy, having man strength and getting downhill and, you know, being 6'5 with broad shoulders and weighing 230 and finishing with either hand, he's a wrecking ball. Nobody's stopping him.
Right. Now, the NCAA tournament is always about matchups. I don't know if you've done – I mean, you obviously have done work on Omaha, Nebraska-Omaha, but what's the threat from this opponent?
Yeah. I'm happy you asked me that because, of course, I've by the way, I let Mink do the most of the research. I just kind of show up and I just start talking about what's in front of me. let me get a couple of names here. No, but obviously it's the tournament. It's a different level of preparation. So there's two players. They're a little small. J.J. White, Tony Osborne. I guess the names are less important, but they shoot it well. They're both volume threes. They're both volume makers as well. They're 43rd best overall three-point percentage in the country as a team. Now, keep in mind, that's a little bit weighted there and slanted because their two biggest shot takers are over 40%.
Right.
So that's dangerous. We've seen many teams that are undersized and inferior talent get hot and send a big-time team home. So anything can happen. But where St. John's, I think, should just annihilate them tonight, you look into the paint. And they don't stop anybody at the rim. They don't block shots. They're 200. I know I'm dropping numbers, but I want fans to at least know what they're looking for. They're 286th in block shots in the country. They're 283rd in opponents' field goal percentage from the 2-point, like right around the rim. So what does it mean? Once those guys get downhill, not just Kadari, but Lewis, and even Wilcher as a guard, even Davon Smith, all those guys, certainly RJ, nobody's stopping them. And then if St. John's happens to knock down, you know, 6, 7, 8 threes, which, by the way, it's gotten a lot better the last month. I think it's kind of overstated how poorly they shoot. I think they're a better three-point shooting team than foul shooting team. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, you stick a few threes, you should win by 20-something. You really should.
Yeah, so as a casual who's watched a lot more over the last few weeks than early in the season, it feels like the script always has them playing an ugly game where they're trailing early, then they fight back and pull away late. Against an opponent like this, and you just described that they should annihilate them, can you see that being what we're watching late tonight, where you get that scare early, that typical ugly scare, and then they turn it on late and blow them out?
I could see it, but I don't necessarily see it applicable to tonight just because, again, the guards that shoot the hell out of it, they're 6'2", 6'3", St. John's rolling 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", bodies at them. Listen, their shooting prowess is real, but shooting in a lower level mid-major conference where guys are a step slower, guys are an inch or two shorter, it's not the same clean look, and I think that speeds you up. So I think it's going to make them uncomfortable. Now, but anything's possible. Now, what St. John's does really well is they are very comfortable being uncomfortable. And that is, boy, that is hard to quantify. But if you watch them, you know what I mean.
Right.
But I do think, Ev, I got to tell you, I think that that's a dangerous script the rest of the way. I even said that, you know, many times during the broadcast to Mink. Maybe Creighton, who's good, and they look good today, but a little soft, they might wilt, and Marquette, who's good, but can't match St. John's ferocity, they could bump into, whether it's Florida, whether it's somebody else before that, that is comparable in talent and comparable in toughness, and if they get up big, they won't let you get off the mat and get back in the game. So I don't love that as a recipe to win, you know, the games required to get to the Final Four or even a step before that. But they've done it so often, if they're down, you know, 13-4, does anybody blink an eye? No, especially that team.
Yeah, you don't panic. Let me ask a bigger picture question about this program and Rick Pitino. Obviously, he comes in, and we all remember what happened last year. He put the guys to task, just called them out, basically. The transfers come in. He's already said he's not going to look at the freshmen coming out of high school. He's going to do this through the transfer portal. And I guess that makes sense for a guy who coaches the way that he coaches, but how sustainable is this, right? Building something, being a consistent contender, obviously for the Big East, but also for the NCAA tournament. Can he keep doing this over and over?
Well, he could for sure. I think that's an easy answer. Yes, let me get that out of the way. I think the greater challenge, you don't want to look too far down the road because, geez, we've been waiting decades for this. Let's enjoy it now. But I get the question, Tika, and I've been asked that a lot. And I remember I was up here in Providence late December. That's when Zuby hit a buzzer beater. And it was right before Christmas, and it was a late game, so I was going back the next morning driving back to New Jersey, and Rick's charter guy, he was going down to Miami for his family for the holidays, and they couldn't de-ice the engine, whatever. So Rick got stuck at the bar. I got stuck at the bar. It was one of the best nights of my life. I don't know if Rick would say the same thing. We closed the bar. And I remember one thing, it was epic, man. It was so awesome. And the one thing that he told me, one of the things he told me that really resonated, he said, the amount of pressure that I have, I had pressure at Kentucky and right. with the Knicks and with Louisville, but to restore this because it's personal. Mm. And I think, you know what I think? And now I'll directly answer Teak. It is sustainable because the infrastructure for St. John's was always busted. They always had good people, right. and I knew them all, and they're no longer here. But they didn't know how to run a big business.
Right, gotcha.
They were like,
I'll let you finish that in a second. Hold on, real quick. Baseball Night in America is next on SNY. Brought to you by
Cadillac. There you go.
Cadillac. Thank you, SNY. Go ahead, BT, finish.
No, I got you. So they would, you know, there were instances where St. John's had a good team or two, very sporadically, but they never had a good program. And I know that you know the difference.
Yeah. No doubt.
So the way you build a program is the infusion of money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once you start hanging some banners, regular season champs, Big East champs, get a couple of kids in the NBA, they're building a new practice facility, which is going to be insane, by the way. And you've got Mike Rapoli, who's been a godsend. Now, yes, it's going to be critical whomever takes the baton from Rick next, whenever that is. He's not going to be Rick, so it's going to be a bit of a drop-off. But everything will be aligned in a way at the school that it has not been aligned since Coach Carter II in the mid-'80s.
Right. Well, hold on. You say whoever takes the baton next. When are you anticipating Rick Pitino not being their head coach?
Oh, he's 72. Is he going to coach when he's 90? I'm
talking short term, BT. I'm not looking 10 years from now, but how long do you think he stays?
I think that he's going to try his best to fulfill the 6-year contract that he signed. Hmm. He's 72. He's the most youthful 72-year-old I've ever seen. He looks the part. He sounds the part. He's incredibly energetic. And I think now that the recruiting grind is different. Now it's like, okay, here's the portal. Here's who we want. And now, you know, you fly the kids in, you put them through a workout, then you work out the money. It's not like he's going to high school gyms and beating the bushes and going to Nike camps and his 5-star camps like it was back in the day when it was literally an arduous, you know, summer-long trek. You know what I mean? Yeah, grind. Good way to put it. So let me put it this way, as long, and I believe it's going to be multiple years. No, he's not taking another job. He's not leaving this job for the NBA or for college. Let's understand that. As long as he is here, St. John's will absolutely be one of the best teams in the country, period.
Now, Sean made this claim earlier. I'm curious your opinion that if St. John's somehow lost tonight, I don't think any of us expect that to happen, that would be a worse disaster than Aaron Rodgers with the Jets and the KD Kyrie era with the Brooklyn Nets. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, the difference, and then I've got to ask you a question about Sean, because I heard some things, too. we'll get back to that.
Yeah.
I can't compare it to the other two, because there wasn't a modicum of success with Aaron Rodgers. St. John's already hanging two banners. Trust me, it's not an excuse. If St. John's were to lose tonight, it's a colossal fail, and I will say that on the radio tomorrow. But I don't think it's commensurate with the other situations. I just don't. Now, did Sean say he wants St. John's to lose?
Yes. He is anti-St. John's. It's disgusting.
Because he's mad at the fans.
I've had it with the fans this week, BT. I've had it with four telling me because I'm a New Yorker, I got to pull out the rally. Don't tell me what I need to do. I've turned on the fan base now, BT.
Well, okay, so you turned heel. I'm surprised because you're generally one of the good guys. Now, why couldn't you just say, all right, I'm not interested in St. John's journey. Well, you didn't have to say you want them to lose.
You know why,
Sean?
BT? I got interested in their journey, and I had a bunch of people. Okay. Oh, this, you know, the city rallies around the. How do you not fire up? How do you not care as much? I'm going to care at my own pace. I just feel like the St. John's fans gotten a little ahead of themselves, and they've fallen into this category of, like, I've lived it with hockey. Don't tell me what I need to care about. That's it. Stop it. And I hope they go down in flames tonight, BT. I hope you see them all.
Let me ask you this. So you're a Nets fan, right? I'm trying to think the worst team you root for.
Yes. Well, I mean, by the way, like, right there, you don't have to search far. Yes.
No, I know. But off the top of your head, what was the last year they were good without details? I forgot. Just give me a year.
2021, three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've lost track of those babies.
Tax 30 years onto that. And understand why maybe St. John's or fans are maybe a little irresponsibly being gatekeepers of fandom. Hell,
I understand that.
I called out Spike Lee the other day.
Yeah, so be excited for your team. Don't force it on other people. I don't like it. It's like forcing carrots down my throat. If I don't like them, get lost.
I thought you were better than that. I thought you were one of the good guys, man. I really did. I thought you were a trench guy, a foxhole guy. You're not. No, you're not.
I'm bottom of the barrel trash.
Nah, he's a bad guy. I mean, I told him, I said, I'm a casual Seton Hall fan. Even I'm rooting for St. John's. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for the diehard fans. Like, I hope you guys go on a run. He's just such a Grinch, bro. He's a bad guy.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, you work with him more. I don't know if I'll say he's a bad guy. I'll say he's a jerk today, though. I'll say that.
I'll see you at 10 a.m. tomorrow, BJ.
Don't say that.
Oh, man. Hey, by the way, hey, Ev, real fast.
Yes.
You know, and I know you said the voice of St. John. That's obviously Minko. You know that when you, and you also threw Minko in there. Can I tell you, because listen, you know, so many guys I grew up with hit me with texts, you know, this must be sick. Oh, my family's into it. It's been an amazing ride. Can I tell you how happy I am for Minko? Because I've seen how re-energized he's become. I mean, you know, John's not at the fan anymore. This is all he does professionally. And I'm so happy to hear, like, you hear his voice. He sounds like he's 50 instead of 103 like he is.
You're right.
Party time.
You're right.
That's awesome. Well, the call will be great tonight. Enjoy it and get a victory.
Hey, 25. Johnny's by 25.
There you go.
Have fun, BT.
BT, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, brother, man.
You'll hear him tomorrow at 10 a.m. with Sal. And, of course, we'll be calling the game with Mink tonight. That was Johnny's Report with Brandon Tierney, brought to you by Sullivan Papain at TrialLaw1.com. New York strong. From the court to the community, remember the name, Sullivan Papain.